You know, it's amazing what God's love for us and how love lifted me. And we've got so much to be thankful for. And you know, I can remember the good old days when I was just a little kid. My mama would have us listen to Billy Graham and different ones on television, and we never went to church. But you know what? It was a miracle to see love in my mom, the way she loved everybody else, the way she took care of them. And it's just quite a blessing to see these things as you grow up. And you know what? When that love is missing, it creates problems, doesn't it? You know, many of you, I'm sure you read books. One another commands in the New Testament. And it's amazing when you look at all the Bible is book. One another found 53 times in the Old and the New Testament. But I want us to look at the verses in the books of the New Testament. And I want us to start with the book of Romans. And you know, it's amazing, I've heard several messages and so forth dealing just with the word, one another, do this. But I think it helps us so much when we look at what the people were going through and what the conflict was or what was the situation when the writer of the New Testament, and most of them, was Paul. What was going on in these particular locations? For these illustrations of loving one another or doing something for one another, what was going on in their lives? And you know, I want us to think about this right here. And we'll look at them, and we'll look at, you know, some scriptures that's going to set the stage for looking at the one another as we see in the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, it's found 10 times. And we won't look at the first one that's found in chapter 1 because it's the wrong kind of one another completely. And it's not to believers, it's to sinners and what they did. But let's look at the beginning here and what we need to do when we think about being able to do these one another. In order to be able to do that, we need to be in a right relationship with God, don't we? And if God is not first place in our life, we won't be able to do it. And isn't it amazing how that works in our minds? And you know, we're told here in the first passage, in the first column, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, a very familiar verse, I'm sure. Many of you memorize this verse of these verses. And he says there, listen to this. This is what we need to do with our mind in order to be able to do these one another's to help other people. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Thank you. Plead with you. By the
mercies of God. And you know, we sang about some of the great blessings we've had in God, right? The mercy and the love and all the things that's been done for us. And you know what? We need to consider the great mercies that God has shed upon us. Mercy is when God does not give us what we deserve.
Some of you might remember as a little kid when you deserved a spanking. And you didn't get it, that was mercy. But think about the mercy that God, you know, gave us by not holding us accountable for our sins. And grace is when God gives you something that you don't deserve. But here he challenges us to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And you know, we heard earlier this morning some of the verses that deal with giving sacrifices and so forth. But you know what? The best thing we can do is to come to God and we can say, Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do? Lord, what would you like to do in my life today? And we need to pray that many times every day, don't we?
times a day we need to pray that and ask God, what would He like to do in our lives? Because we want to be a living sacrifice to Him. Because of all that was sacrificed for us. And he says, holy and acceptable to God. And you know, that's what we want to do, right? Holy means set apart. And we want our life to be set apart to God. And you know what? That's one of the best ways we can illustrate it is the way we come together as a body of believers. And then how we go out and tell everybody else about what God is doing for us. And I can think of a better message that we can
share. We need to do it. We need to
be separated from this world. And listen to what he says here. We need to be acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. That's a smart thing to do, right? That's the thing we ought to do with no questions asked. And you know what? We need to have this in our hearts. But look at verse 2 there. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we have to not to be conformed to this world, right? And it's terrible what what's going on in the world right now. Not only in the world wars, all the things that's going on right now, and not only that, but think of all of the things that's going on in the world, in families, and so forth, that's destroying them. But we need to be not conformed to the world. Who do we need to be conformed to? Christ. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, not the things of the world. And that's who we need to be looking to for all our things. And he says, and renew your mind. And, you know, the reason God created two to become one, because when you get to be our age, I'll be 80 my birthday, and I'm not going to tell you how young she is. But it takes two to have one memory. And every day we need to have these old memories, whether we're young or whether we're old, we need to have those minds renewed. And we need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God every day. Because if we don't do that, and if we don't renew our mind, and when we do that, he says here that we can prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We want to walk in God's will, don't we? And the only way you can do that is to have your mind right. Because if that mind gets all stirred up with all kinds of problems and so forth, you won't be able to do these things. And we'll see some of the things right here that we need to be doing to other believers and to people in the world, because we are a believer. You know, I shared this verse with Skip this morning earlier in Psalm 119, verse 74. Look it up when you go home. And it says, those that fear the Lord shall rejoice when they see me, because my hope is in the Lord. And isn't that true? When people look at us, they can see where our hope is. And if our hope is in ourselves and in the world, there's not going to be many smiles, is there? But if our hope is in the Lord, they can see there's something different about you. And that's what we need to do in order to be able to go and to share with people the good news of the glorious gospel. And when they see that smile and they realize that they can talk to you, they're willing to ask you for a reason of the hope that you have in God. But look at this chapter here in Romans. And let's go down through here. The differences, and I think this right here is one of the challenges that we need to think about when we think about how we disagree with one another. And it's amazing how we all have different thoughts, right? I grew up in a family with 7 kids, and guess what? Each one of us was totally different and unique. And every one of us had our own thoughts about what we ought to do and how we ought to do it. And if you didn't do it my way, you were doing it the wrong way. You did the same thing, huh? But listen to what he says here. God put us together as a body. When we come to Christ, not only do we have our sins forgiven and we become a new person in Christ, but we become part of the body of Christ. We're all members, right? We have some ears in here. We have some eyes and noses and different things. And we'll see that in the passage here. But we see that not only are we all different, God gave us a different way of looking at things and a way of serving Him. And I know that we did a series on this back in the mid-90s in Reidsville, and it was amazing the people that we saw that, and we did it again in 2000, I think it was 5 or 6, something like that. No, it was in the 2000s we did it again. And we went through the same thing again and looked at all of these different gifts that God has given to us. It was amazing. We broke up into different groups. And guess what happened? The ones who had the same gift ended up going in this room. And the ones who had another gift, they went in this room. And I thought it was just amazing. Before we could really get started into these concepts, everybody was united to people and agreed with them. Listen to what he says here. He says in verse 3, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." You know, when you go through the scripture and you look at a measure, all we get is a measure. We get a certain amount. Who is the fullness of everything? It's Christ, right? We get just a little bit. And if we do it the way we ought to do it, it can grow, right? He says, not to think yourself more highly than you ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body and individual members of one another. Now you think about your body. Isn't it amazing all the different aspects of the human body? The human body is one of the most complicated things in the universe. And you know what? What would it be like up here if I didn't have any eyes? Or if I only had one eye? My vision goes down, doesn't it? What if I didn't have any ears and I couldn't hear what you say? I couldn't hear an amen or anything like that. What if I didn't have feet? What if I didn't have a little toe? What if I didn't have a little finger? That's so insignificant, right? Same as a little toe. But you know what? That little finger right there is the best thing you know to pick my ear with. And that little finger right there can do all kinds of things. Pick my nose. Do all kinds of things, right? But you know what? When you put them all together, you know what? I can pick up a bottle of water with no problem at all. What's happening there? All these fingers are working together. And you know what? I didn't have them give a command to one to do this and another to do that. God created a brain to be able to do these things. So that we could just think about something and bam, we're able to do it. But it's because the body is working together. And each member is doing what God created them to do. But listen to what else he says. verse 6, and he talks about the gifts that God has given to us. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And he'll give us several gifts right here. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And you know, we don't, it's, when you look at this particular gift here, he's not talking about being a prophet. But it's, isn't it amazing? Do you know people that can tell you what's wrong with everything? Do you know somebody like that? I had a brother like that. And that's why they called us Tom and Jerry. He was Tom the cat, and I was Jerry the rat. But you know what? Tom could tell you what was wrong with everybody else. And I think that was a gift that God gave him. But listen, he says, let's do it to the proportion of our faith. When we tell people what's wrong with a situation, let's do it according to faith. What God would have us to do. And he goes on here, or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. And you know what? Isn't it great, the ministry that God has given the different ones here in this audience? But, you know, some people have gotten this gift right here where they love to serve. They love to do practical things. And he says, let us use in our ministry. He who teaches. Some people has got the gift of teaching. And, you know, we see three gifts in Acts 4:12. A teacher, an evangelist, and a shepherd. And you know what? And they're to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And it would be interesting if we were to look at some of the things right here. And look at, he says here, he who teaches in teaching, he needs to be teaching. And, you know, I think that's probably Steve, Mr. Diddy. Skip Diddy, I almost skipped you there. But, you know, I think his gift is that of teaching. He loves to teach. But he says that he who exhorts in exhortation, and believe it or not, that's my gift. I like to encourage people. And he says to do it with exhortation. And, you know, I love to see people and help them any way I can and encourage them in their faith with Christ. And I've discovered that this is a great way that I can encourage you. Okay? And then he says, he who gives, do it with liberality. And you know, isn't it amazing how that God has given people to be able to give? And isn't it amazing, you know, it's amazing how that, you know, people with the gift of giving, usually they have a lot of money. And you know, when a need pops up, they're able to meet all of the needs immediately. And you know what? We've got a Bible program in Rockingham County, and we've got the Bible teachers in almost every school in Rockingham County. And this ministry has to pay the teachers' salary, their medical expenses. They have to get the same salary as a teacher in the public school. And you know what? This year, I think the need for the number of teachers we've got was over $500,000. And guess what? It didn't take very long, and $500,000 came in. It's amazing how this works. And he says that he who leads, let him do it with diligence. There's some people that are good at leading, taking the lead in whatever needs to be done. And they are good at that right there. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And you know what? Isn't it amazing? I think my gift is that of exhortation, and Karen is mercy. She's been showing mercy to me now for 57 years. And that mercy gets greater every day. It's just amazing. And you look at these different gifts right here. Think about where do you fit into this picture? But he says in verse 10, whichever one of these gifts you've got, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. Wow. If we're giving preference, you know, you're better than I am. I'm doing this in brotherly love. I want to show you that I care about you. And you know what? When we do that right there, we're really showing kindly affections, aren't we? When we do these things right here. And we're showing brotherly love. Isn't it amazing here? Giving honor. You know, it's easy to be the all about me individual, right? Me, myself, and I deserve everything. It's all about me, whatever we do. And, you know, A, B, M, anti-ballistic missile. Isn't that what you become if it's all about me? And don't worry about anybody else, what they think and what they want to share. It's all about what I think, and it's got to be done my way or it's the highway. But he says, don't do that. You be kindly affectionate. And you know, when you see these right here, you see just a oneness of spirit. And then you see the body working together. And that's the way God wants it to be. But listen to what it says in verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving the hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Isn't that an amazing challenge right there? If somebody curses you, what do you need to do? You need to bless them, don't you? And you need to ask God, how can I bless this individual? And you know, one of the best ways I found out to do that when somebody's upset, just go and ask them, you know what, is there anything I can do to help you? Is there anything I can do to encourage you? Is there anything bothering you right now? You know what? I want to show you Christ in me. And it works. It works. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And it's amazing what goes on in people's lives. And we were just at a house yesterday Friday. We took a meal to a lady in our meeting. Her husband of many years, he was 87, went to heaven. And then we had another lady that came to the, she came the same time to bring a meal. And guess what? She has lost two husbands in that. And you know what? Karen and I was able to sit there and to listen to these two women tell stories about losing their husband. Right? And it was so encouraging that one could tell the other because they wept with me. And you know what? That's the way life is, isn't it? Whatever situation somebody's going through, you can find somebody that you can go and help them. But he says in verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Be of the same mind. And what's the only same mind that we can have that will encourage one another? It's the mind of Christ. If you did be risen with Christ, seek those things above. Don't set your mind on things of the earth, but set them on things above. And that's what really gives us that same mind, is when we're both looking at things above and not on things of the earth. And he says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, have lived peaceably with all. Wow. As much as it depends on you. Now, if they respond wrong, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to respond wrong with them, right? You're supposed to live peaceably with them. And you know what? We're told at the end of this book right here that when we do that, you know, we are, the challenge there to love your enemies. And he gives us a list of all the things we ought to do to show them love. And it says, if you do these things, you will overcome evil with good. But guess what? If you don't do it, evil will overcome you. And you know, it's amazing when we've got the goodness of God flowing into our minds and in our hearts, so we become like a river. It comes in and we want it to go out, right? But if we allow the evil and the bad things that's happened to us by someone else, if we let it come in like that, our body becomes a reservoir. And all of that terrible things that happen to you get stored in your mind and in your heart. And then you're not able to do it. And then you're controlled by fear and anger, and I'm going to get even with them. And I'm not going to do what's right. I'm going to get even. Does it work? Is that what's going on in the world today? I'm going to drop a bomb on you. Okay, I'm going to drop two on you. No, I'm going to drop three on you now. No, I'm going to get five on you. And that's how it's working in the world today. And we need to love one another. You know, it's amazing. Let's go down the line here. He gives us a situation here about submission to authorities. And I'm not going to go into that right there because the clock is ticking too fast. But think about it, what it says there in Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do what you want to be unafraid. And do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. And he goes on here, you know, you need to pay taxes to whoever taxes is to. And, you know, you need to do all these things and follow these laws that's been made for conscience sake. Because if we violate the law, what's going to happen to our conscience? It's going to convict us then. Tell us what we did wrong. But, you know, I think it's interesting in the next point here in the center column. But he uses an illustration of the law. Listen to what he says here. He says, owe no one anything except to what? To love one another. That's what I owe you. And that's what you owe me. You owe me your love. Isn't that how it works? And listen to what he says here in verse 9. He gives a beautiful illustration. He says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And when you do that, you know, you'll do what's right for them, won't you? Because isn't that what you want done for yourself? I mean, you never take a hammer and just hit yourself on the finger like that, right? and say, okay, Pam, don't do that again. No, you won't do that. You know, you might go wash your hand and put some cream on it or something like that before you would do something terrible to hurt your own body. And that's the way we need to be with one another. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? You think about it. Who is our neighbors? Is it just the ones that lives next door to us? Or in our neighborhood? You know, we need to do that wherever we go, right? We need to treat them like they're neighbors. And it's amazing when you go through the Old Testament and you look at the laws and all of the things that the people did to violate these different commands. But he says, don't owe anybody anything. You know, how many of you have some debts to pay? Do you have a monthly bill from some bank or house payment every month? You have tax payments every year? Right. You owe some things, right? And so what do you need to do every year? If you don't pay your house taxes, what will happen to you? They can take it away from you. But what do we owe each other more than anything else? It's love. We need to love one another. And when we do that, we find ourselves, we're automatically just fulfilling the scripture, the law, that tells us what we should be doing. But let's go on here. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 14. It says, this next verse here, it says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Someone who's weak in the faith. And let's go down here, and he gives an illustration of this. He says, for one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let him who eats despise not him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. And one who's weak in faith, if his faith is in God, God's received him. And we don't need to judge somebody else for one particular thing that we disagree with. And you know, over the years as a believer, I've seen so many little nitpicking things that people disagree with. And if it's not done according to their way, they leave the church. And you know, I've seen it. Do we use grape juice or do we use wine when we have the Lord's Supper? Do we use a loaf of bread or do we use crackers? Do we pass on an offering basket, or do we just set something in the back of the room and let whoever wants to put something in it? I've seen people divided over that over the many years. 57 years I've been a believer. And you'll find that they disagree, and he says, no, you don't need to do that. And you know, I know one church that they had a brother that was going to leave because they used wine, and he had been an alcoholic. And he refused to drink it. But that would be a good reason why. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They ended up with a little thing there. They'd have in the center row, two rows wide. Now it would be grape juice. That was receiving a weaker brother in the faith. And he says in verse 4, look at this right here. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls, indeed he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let us each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to the Lord. So whatever your view is, if you're really serving God and you put him first place in life, in your life, you know what? God will accept that. And it's amazing how you see people, they go through these different situations And, you know, this one little point in 10 years, 20 years, they changed their mind. And you know why they changed their mind in many cases? Because as they grow up, something happens to them. And I've seen this in families where parents have got a restrictions, all these different rules with their little kids. And when the kids grow up, they move out and they don't want to come home. All of a sudden, guess what? They changed their mind. We need our kids to come back home to us. We need to show love to them and not to be dogmatic about one particular issue in our life. And I think that's a good illustration here. He says, as we go, he says, for none of us lives to himself and no one lives to himself. You know, when you isolate yourself and you don't want to be around other people, you create a problem for yourself, don't you? I've seen this happen in so many situations. It says in verse 8, for if we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And to this end, Christ died and rose again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Look at the next one here. But why do you judge a brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account to God. We're going to give an account, aren't we? And I'll tell you what, I've seen so many people change their minds as they go through life. And you know, I've seen even doctrinal views where people believe this particular thing, and then when they, as they get old and they see things around them happening in a different way that's contradictory to what they have been saying, they change their mind. Or sometimes they just shut down and don't talk. They like to live it to themselves. But he says, verse 13, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know, and I am convinced by the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but it is him who considers anything to be clean to him is unclean. Verse 15, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. What's that saying? Don't come up with some little nitpicking thing here and somebody disagrees with you and let that destroy your relationship. And it's kind of like says, okay, little finger, I don't like you. I don't like the way you move. You don't move as quick as the others. Get out of here. We're all part of the body, aren't we? And we need to work together. He says in verse 15, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. And when we have a covered dish or something like that, does everybody go in and get one of everything on the table? No, they go in and pick out what they like, don't they? When you go to a restaurant, how many people, wherever you go, everybody orders the exact same thing? Everybody gets something different. They like this particular sauce on their food. They like that, this sauce. Everybody's different, aren't they? And he says, if your brother's grieved, you know, you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Whoever that person is, Christ died for them, didn't he? And he wants you to work with them help them, and y'all come together and come up with how to solve this problem. And he says, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things are indeed pure, but what is evil for man who eats with an offense? And you know what? It goes on in chapter 15 of Romans about somebody who's you know, he's got these different weaknesses, different things. Listen to what it says here in Romans 15, point number 6 in the third column. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of peace and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Jesus Christ. And that you may be, and you may with one mind, one mouth, glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we had a motto in the Navy, be careful what you do, don't sink the ship. Because if you sink the ship, everybody on board is going to die. Right? So in other words, if you've got a disagreement, sit down and talk about it. How did you come to this? What's your view on that? Tell me your views. And could we come together and grapple it up and talk about this? And if we can't agree, we'll learn how to still be brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have that Christian love. And listen to what it says in Romans 15:7. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. When God received you, he tell you, okay, you got to get these 25 things straightened out in your life, and then I'll receive you. He didn't say that, did he? How did he receive us? When we received his Son as a payment for our sins, he received. And he says, okay, now I'm going to work on you. I'm going to conform you to the image of my Son. And I'm going to knock off some of these old edge, rough edge spots on you. And you're going to be conformed to the image of my Son. And we can say that old song, he's still working on me. Mm. To make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the sun and the moon and all of the universe, right? But he's still working on me. And he's been working on me for almost 80 years. Well, let's go on. We're out of time. Verse 15:14. Now I am confident concerning you, my brother, that you are all full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Admonish one another. He says here in verse 30, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. If we're striving in anger and discontent among ourselves, are our prayers answered? They're not answered. God turns his face from us. Look at 1 Peter 3 it is, and he gives us a beautiful illustration of that. And he shuts his ears, he won't listen to our prayers. If a husband and wife can't get along, God doesn't hear our prayers. And we need to strive together. Paul gives a challenge. Strive together, you know, with me. I pray for you. You pray for me. Let's do it together as a team. And when we do that, God will answer those prayers for me if we're sincere in our hearts. And then listen to what it says in verse Romans 16:10. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And in Romans 16, he goes on and he says, he talks about divisions. People that won't try to get along with one another. And in verse 16:17, he says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and hold. Don't go and stir stuff up if they are their goal is to cause division, to separate the body of Christ. We don't do that. And he says, for your obedience has become known to all, therefore I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And listen, I want to give you a beautiful illustration, closing book of Old Testament, Malachi 3:16. It says there, there's the last point on the outline, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord listened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. God's writing it down up in heaven. If we're following these great principles and we're talking to one another and we're trying to fear the Lord together, God hears our prayers, doesn't he? And there's a book being written in heaven. And then he says in verse 17, listen to what he says. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve. There's a book being written in heaven. And we want to have good writings in that book, don't we? And we want our prayers answered. And we want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say to those soldiers when he was nailing his hands to the cross? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And I thank people who are like this and so forth, causing divisions and problems. They don't know what to do. And they need God to reveal it to them. I love the scriptures. It's the biggest challenge in my life, and I know it's the same for you. Let's just thank the Lord for all he's done for us. Father, we just thank you so much this morning for your great love and mercy to us. Lord, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Oh, we thank you this morning that it was your perfect love that casts out fear. And we thank you, Father, we want to know that we want to love you with all our hearts, our souls, and our minds, that we want to follow these commands to love one another, to encourage one another, to do all of these things that you challenge us to do in your precious word. And Father, we know that Paul wrote this great challenges to these people by the working of the Holy Spirit in him. And we know that when we want to fulfill these one another's and we live them out, the Holy Spirit is really working in us. So we just commit our afternoon to you. We thank you so much for the precious time we had remembering your son. And thank you for your precious word and how you've used it to encourage our hearts of how we want to be reformed. We want to be not conform to the world, but we want our minds to be renewed so that we can know what is your perfect will. And so we just commit ourselves to you now, and we praise you and thank you for every person here under the sound of the word of God. And we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.